kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And people don't want to hear about Jesus, but they do want to hear about heaven. They do want to hear about what God has for them and how to have that now. Not wait till you get there, but now. So what we're going to do is take a remedial session in which we'll bring people through as to what happened at creation, what happened at the fall, and what's going on with people today and why God is so interested in getting everything right for His return, because He is coming. He's coming soon for us. And that, you know, when everybody went to creation, Irene brought me back a T-shirt and it says, "When Jesus comes back, I'll be so out of here." And that is so true, because I usually say, "Color me gone, because I'll be out of here." And that is so true. What we have learned so far in just this past week in the kingdom is understanding that God created everything. We started in Genesis 1:1, and I elaborated very eloquently, I guess, because everybody was... they didn't realize just in one verse I could preach. And really, I could take that verse today and continue preaching on it, but I got so deep with these guys that all the phone calls and letters and stuff, I really appreciate it, guys, but it went to my other house and it didn't come to me, so it was wonderful. But some of the things that we learned last week, that God created everything. Invisible first, in which He created heaven, He created the angels, He created everything that there is in heaven. There is no darkness, there is light, there is love, there is peace, there is joy, unspeakable. In other words, we can't describe all that stuff. But here, you know, we can only experience joy and love and peace in a temporal situation. We can't experience it continuously because God is not here with us all the time. That's not true. He is. The problem is we have not learned to plug into His Spirit to experience this time and time again. Has anybody ever met somebody that's always happy? I live with one that's always happy. But the joy of God is indwelling these people so much that it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And when you're around them, you just feel really good about being around people like that. Of course, I'm there 24/7, and I'll tell you what, sometimes it don't feel good. That's the truth. But we also learned that God created a kingdom. The kingdom of heaven was what He created first. And from that there, because God is not a God of love, He is love, He loves to expand His horizons. And so what He did was He created a physical realm of which we dwell in. And we became representatives of that kingdom to live in here. And today what we're going to do is expand on that thought a little bit more about living here. And there's six things that we're going to have to really get down and understand a little bit. But we need to really see that God has something greater for us than just having... I hate to put it to you guys. I don't want to say it any other way, but have a religious experience. And if you guys know me, I'm not into religion. I hate it with a passion. And if we start getting religious here, out the door I go. Because I believe church needs to be fun. I believe church needs to be experienced. Because church isn't church. We are the church. It is not a building. It is not an organization. It is an organism. Ooh, boy, I get tongue-tied. Get it out there. So if you would turn to Genesis, again, we're going to stay in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Today's message is colonization, God's purpose for man. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. It's where everything starts. And of course, none of us read the Old Testament because, after all, the good stuff is I said it backwards, didn't I? None of us read the New Testament. None of us read the Old Testament. We all read the New Testament. But in Genesis and in all the books of the Old Testament, it testifies of what Christ and who Christ is and the purposes of Christ. And that whole purpose was to bring us to a realization that there is a kingdom that God has created for us, to live in. And He didn't want us to live in this kingdom without Him. But what happened was something terrible happened. There was a war in heaven, And those who perpetrated this war against God was thrown to earth, and the rest we should know about as we continue on. Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. This is the Lord speaking. He said, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Six is the number. For those who study numbers, I'm one of those guys that study numbers in the Bible. Six is the number of man. Why do we say that? Well, because on the sixth day, God created man. And man has every time you see six in the scriptures, it's referring to man or something about man. It has a definitive code to it. So today I'm going to present six fundamental truths out of these scriptures, and hopefully that will enlighten you to understand that God has a greater purpose for you than sitting on as an ant or a bump on a log. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And like I said last week, a lot of us have asked, why was I born? What's my purpose here? You know, what is my destiny? And today is going to begin that process of starting asking to answer those questions so that we as people can begin to understand that religion is not what God designed from the beginning. Religion is not what he designed. That is all because of the fall. And next week we're going to talk about the fall and what happened at the fall and what was lost at the fall. But today we want to understand that God, in his mind and in his good pleasure, Jesus told us that it was God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, not Jesus. See, Jesus comes with the kingdom, but Jesus is the king of the kingdom, but that's not what we're receiving. We receive salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, but it is the kingdom that we are going to receive. And the problem with Christians today, especially in America, first of all, we don't understand about kingdom, and second of all, we don't understand about heaven. We want to get there, but you know what? We don't talk about it because, after all, we were told, and I don't know about you, but I was raised up in a Presbyterian organization, and I affectionately call it the Frozen Chosen because they were stiff and, you know, I like worship, I like the demonstrative and all. But we were told that you don't share your faith and that everything in heaven you'll have when you get there. And that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us something totally diametrically different. And as I said last week, Satan has deceived us to water down the gospel to a point that, you know, we can live and profess to be Christians, but we can live in sin. I'm here to tell you today, that was not God's plan for you. God's plan for you is something far more exciting than the lowly crumbs that this world wants to throw to you. God didn't create you so that you could be under your circumstances. God created you to have, as the 26th verse says, have dominion. In other words, you are to be over your circumstances. You are to conquer those circumstances. You are to rule and reign. That's what you were created for. So let's look at this. Man was created in God's image. We are the only creature, being, made in God's image. We are created to have dominion or rule. Nothing else in this world was created that way. All of us are to rule and reign, but we are not to carry that dominion. If you read that scripture correctly, we are not to have that dominion over each other. Men, you don't rule over your wives as a terrorist. You rule with them in love. Women, you don't rule over your husbands as nags. We rule with them in love. God created them male and female. In other words, the male is not more superior than the woman, nor is the woman more superior than the man. They are equal in God's eyes. And the funny thing was, last week I said that we were God-like. God created us as a God-like class of being. What does that mean? That means that we are spiritual beings. God created us. And He put us in a body. And He made those bodies male and female. In the spirit realm, there is no differentiation of male or female because spirits do not have any genders. No spirit has a gender. You remember the story when Jesus was talking about the Pharisees and the one of the Pharisees says, you know, Lord, you know, there was this hypothetical story about this guy who was married to this woman. And, you know, he died. And according to the law, the next brother had to marry her and raise up an heir in his name. But it didn't happen that way because he died too. So the next brother, and we went through seven brothers, you know, at the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? Whose wife? None of them. Why? We're married to Christ. We're not married to each other. Spirits. We are married to the Lord Jesus Christ in a sense that is real. That's why marriage is such a mystery to the world today. They can't understand how marriage is supposed to work. Guys walk around and say, man, you know, I work all day. Serve me, woman. Wife says, man, you know, I've been working all day. You know, get it yourself. Right? I was there. I used to come home all day, you know, working all day, plop down. Yo, I'm going to turn the channel. We didn't have remotes in those days. I'm going to turn the channel for Dad. Okay. Irene, iced tea, sandwich. Okay. Couch potato, you and me. That's not how it works. Not in the kingdom. You see, the world has turned it upside down, but when Jesus came, He turned it back upside right. And when He preached about the kingdom and how things are supposed to be, how things are supposed to work, and how men and women in this God-like generation, not like God. We are not like God. God-like means I have access to God and He can do everything that He wants. To be God-like means I'm co-equal with Him. That as He is, I am too. I don't need to speak to each other. And that's where the deception came in. We'll see that next week in the fall. But the kingdom of God is something greater than that. And so these basic things that we have to understand is that to rule and reign, we must understand the creation process. We must understand why God created us and the purposes behind it. It says in there, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the body. And then He says, and over all creation. And then in verse 27 it says, God created. It's real interesting. I looked up these Hebrew words for make and create. The Hebrew word for create is bara, B-A-R-A. And it means to make something out of nothing. To make something out of nothing. Bara. The word make, the Hebrew word is asa. A-S-A, asa. And it means to make something out of something that already exists. You may be saying, Pastor, where are you going with this? Well, let's look at Genesis 2, 7. Genesis 2, 7. Tells us, And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. In some translations, man became a living soul. In King James, it may say soul. God made and created man. Man was created by the injection of these two processes, if you would. When God created everything, he then formed man. He took some dust, some clay. And I'm starting to sing that song, yeah, Pound of Clay, an oldie. Kat, you may remember that song. God made woman, made man. And he took it, and it was a shell. There was no life in it. Okay? And God actually took something from him, his uncreated spirit, something that was never was, and he into man, and man became a living being. It was a synergism, or the process of two unlikely things coming together and making a third thing out of the two, more powerful than each element by themselves. God created a spirit being the moment he breathed life into them. And he made them male and female. Each one of you and I have a spirit in us. Some of us have been enlightened to the Spirit of God. We call that process redemption. Okay? Our spirit's been redeemed, and in redemption, our spirits have been enlightened or regenerated by the Spirit of God, and we come to know God. Others have a spirit, but they don't think about God. They don't think about the kingdom of God. They don't think about nothing but themselves and what they can get. And that's a process that had occurred at the fall of man. And if you want to know about that, come back next week. We will talk about that. But in this process, God has now created man. Man was complete. He had everything. He had the Spirit of the living God living in him. He also had God walking with him. Because it says in there, in the cool of the day, the Spirit of the Lord walked with Adam. So man was created a class of being that was God-like. In that, what God had put into us was his very own DNA. Contained in that DNA was all the traits, all the attributes, all the characters, all the gifts that makes up God was now placed in us that we could exercise and utilize for his glory. Do you understand this? That's what man was before he was deceived and fell. He had a relationship with God. He understood the kingdom of God. But God had a greater process. You see, because God loves and he wants to share himself with everyone, he created us to live and habitate upon the earth as a colony. And this colony, we call Adam and Eve, was to be fruitful and multiply. It was they were to influence the world by the kingdom of God's standards. Through a relationship with God, they were to influence this world. And those of us that are married know how much our wives influence us. Or vice versa, how much we influence our wives, or our boyfriends and girlfriends, or whoever. There is this natural influence that comes But God created us as supernatural beings, encapsulated in a body, so that we could relate that the kingdom of heaven, which is invisible, could then influence a physical reality through love. Are you with me? And man was supposed to be in his union with woman in order to propagate the kingdom and to continue to influence this world for God's glory. It's kind of like this way. Pontius Pilate, we all know who Pontius Pilate was, right? He was governor over Judea in the stead of Caesar or the Roman Empire. Pontius Pilate ruled over that area with the power of attorney given to him by Caesar as a representative of Roman authority. Okay? God did the same thing when He created man. He created man to inhabit the planet and to rule the planet in His stead with all power and authority from heaven. That means all power and authority from heaven. That means we rule over sickness. We rule over death. We rule over our circumstances. We rule over our emotions. We rule over our positions. We rule over everything seen and unseen that God had created so that the kingdom of heaven would influence the world. And needless to say, that did not happen. But because God put His very self in us, His very nature in us, we became God-like. And it's interesting that God was the source of everything, is still the source of everything, that the Hebrew word for source is A-B-B-A, Abba, of which Jesus said, Abba, Father, your Father. Your source of everything. Your Father who art in heaven. It is your Father's desire to give you. It is Abba's source. And the reason why we don't look at God as the source of things is because some of our spirits are not connected with God's Spirit. And so we don't look to Him. We try to solve all our problems by ourselves. And I don't know about you, but before I became a Christian, I was doing a heck of a job of messing my life up. How about you? Yeah. I was. I was almost divorced. Almost. Almost lost my kids, lost my family, lost everything that was important to me. And then God came into my life. Sat down with me and Jack Daniels. And I committed my life to Jesus Christ. And because I have committed my life to Jesus Christ, not to religion, hear me, not to religion. I don't believe in religion. All religion does is make dry morsels for us. Relationships can influence us and us them. And build us and make us something that we never asked or imagined. And God changed my life in such a way that it's uncanny how similar our lives are. When I say I understand because I was there. Where you are, I was there. And God enlightened my spirit and has given me a taste of the kingdom of which I don't want my previous life. So man was created and made is the first principle. We're the only being created and made. Second, we are the only creature made in His image. As I said, man is a God-class spirit being. We were given the responsibility to rule over the earth as agents or ambassadors of God's kingdom. And these guys who've been here with me are getting a steady dose of what it means to renew your mind. Renew your mind for the kingdom. We don't think about the kingdom because we're not taught to think about the kingdom. We think that we're Christians and we can live our lives whatever way because God says, you know, I'm a God of love and I'm going to bring you into my kingdom. It's not going to happen, folks. It's not what the Bible teaches. As an ambassador, we need to represent that government. An ambassador conducts themselves as if they were standing in front of their own king to the world. And believe it or not, you stand before God Almighty, you just don't see Him. He is here. You cannot conduct yourself the same way as what you were before you came into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. You are now an ambassador. And some of the things that changed in my life was I used to throw the F word around, and I used it in all three classifications. It was a noun, it was a verb, and it was also an adjective. And I could use them all in the same sentence. And God has cleaned up that. As an ambassador of His kingdom, those are not words that He uses. He uses words like love, peace. God is with you. God loves you. God wants you to be in His family. He tries to educate us to a different way. His influence changes my lifestyle. My lifestyle used to be alcohol and drugs. I was never a womanizer. I never saw breaking my vow to cheat on my wife as something smart. I thought it was pretty dumb. But to drink and have drugs, and be involved with drugs and all that other stuff, well, that was a different story. And I did that really well to the point that I almost lost my family. But as an ambassador, I see that the world uses that to keep me from becoming all that God has created me to be. As an ambassador, I know what my country is about. Because I've been there. I know what it is. If you go to another country, and how many of us have been out of this country? Believe it or not, you know, you are an ambassador of the United States or a representative of the United States when you go to a foreign land. And if you conduct yourself improperly, they will properly throw you in jail. And you will have to call the consulate, and the consulate will have to make arrangements to get you out of jail and out of the country because you misrepresent the United States. And that's the same thing in the kingdom of God. You cannot claim the name of Jesus, who is our King, and conduct yourself irrespective of the kingdom of heaven. It's just, it can't happen. And God will bring you home, and you will not fulfill your destiny, and you will have less of a reward than if you lived to fulfill your destiny. Third, man is not a gender. It is a word given to a specific species of supernatural being put into a case. It is not a gender. Man is a generic word that describes this God class, this God-like class, a supernatural spiritual being of which we are. We are man. And God created, man. I'm glad He did. Male and female. Yes, I am retarded. I knew that. But I like to have fun. There is no gender in our spirits, only in our outward physical condition. And our physical condition is only given so that we can relate to this physical realm. But our spirit is constantly in communion with the Spirit of God, or should be. And that it keeps us in check. It's no different than us giving the word God. God is not His name. God is a word that describes His omnipotence, His omniscience, and His omnipresence. Yes, thank you. God's all-powerful, all-knowing, and He's there everywhere. And the way I describe that, how can God be everywhere at the same time? Light travels at 286,000 miles per second. It takes 6 seconds, 6.5 seconds for light to go around the world. And God is faster than light. If it takes light to go around the world one time, 6 seconds, and God is faster than that, He can be where He wants to be all the time. So if that shuts down your brain like it did mine the first time, it's okay. Dominion. God said, let them have. And when He gave dominion, God, because God is so holy and because He is so honorable, He will not violate His word or His directive. In other words, once He's given you dominion to do what He wants you to do, He won't take that from you. It is your responsibility to be the head and not the tail. It is your responsibility to be an overcomer. And if you look at Revelation, Jesus tells us, you know, when He talked to the churches, He says, if you're an overcomer, I'll give you this. Be an overcomer, I'll give you that. He gave you dominion. He transferred power from on high to earth. He gave it to man. The kingdom of heaven is power and authority. And you look through the scriptures, you look where every man and woman that exercised faith and preached the kingdom of God, signs and wonders followed them. Miracles happened. Angelic visitation came. Visions. We call this divine delegation. And some of you may say, oh, I don't believe that, you know. I don't care if you do or don't. Don't negate the fact that it's true. That's why you got to have your mind renewed. Because the world has been telling us for so long, for too long, that you'll never amount to anything, that you're no good, you're rotten, you're a bum, you're this or that. God says, I love you and I have something greater for you. Don't look at your present situation now. Look to me. I'll show you what I have for you because I created you. That's what I did. I stopped listening to my full-hearted friend. Oh, Garrett, don't do that. You know, that's stupid doing that. Going to church? What? You nuts, man? Come on, let's go out and have a couple beers. Come on. You can catch that later. You ever meet anybody that had nothing good going on in their lives, and when somebody else is just starting to lift themselves up out of their circumstances, they quick drag you back down. Try to keep you in that place. Well, they're not the friends you need to have because those friends want to be as poor as you. I told my friends, I said, you know, for the first, they said to me, Gary, I don't like how you are anymore. I said, I like how I am. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please Him. He created me for His good pleasure and purposes. And He created you for the same thing. And if you like where you are and don't believe that God has something better for you, you will be where you are forever. But God has a plan. And that plan includes you if you choose to be in part of it. Delegated divine authority He has given to us. Dominion lays the foundation for the plans and purposes of God. What does that mean? That means that once I've received Christ and I've negated to live my life for myself any longer, I now begin to exercise by faith that which I had lost from the beginning. In other words, when I started learning about what God wanted for my life, and I started to line my life up with His plans, His principles, my life changed. My friends changed. But my circumstances changed even more. It didn't matter what the circumstance I was going through, I was going through. It wasn't going to keep me back from attaining that which God wants of my life. And He has given me the power, He has given me the dominion, the authority to do this. And He has given it to all those who believe in Him. The question is, do you believe? It's faith. I was so far in debt before I got saved. I had an indebtedness at that time when I got saved of probably $30,000 in credit card indebtedness. And Irene left her job to be at home with my two children. I didn't know where the money was coming. And Mr. Stiles, we need some cash, man. Mr. Stiles, I don't care if it's morning, you owe us some money. I don't care. We gave it to you, we want it. I got saved. God supernaturally provided for me. I didn't miss a meal. I was never late on a bill. My kids were not sick. We walked in divine protection for 6 years. And in those 6 years, as we're lining up, giving my tithes, being involved, learning, applying principles of the kingdom into my life, we got a great reward. We had a letter from a lawyer saying that you owe the city of Philadelphia another $9,000. How would you act? Would you go, oh my God, I can't believe this, man. God, you messed up. I'm out of here. Or would you do like we did? I got all four of us, we got on our knees, and we repented to the Lord because we didn't want to deceive anybody. And we said, Father, we need your help. We need you to make a way because really we can't see going further than where we are. Our finances are stretched to where we're just barely making it. And right on the bottom of this letter from this lawyer was a little phone number. If you didn't look for it, you wouldn't have found it. And she called up, and the lawyer said, payment plan, we'll help you out. Pay this off in 3 years, $46 a month. I said, man, I don't know where we're going to come up with 46. We're still paying all this other stuff off. And the Lord spoke to me and said, will you trust me in this? I said, yes, I've trusted you so far. We paid the credit card indebtedness off and this tax bill to the city of Philadelphia in a 7-year period. And our reward was, we got another letter from the lawyer. And we're like, man, he's telling us it's paid off. He goes, no, you still owe us another $4,000. That was only the first half of the money you owed. So we called, and he says, look, we're waiving all the penalties this time. Because you've been so faithful in staying up with this, there's no penalties. Your fine is only $4,000, and we paid that off in 3 years' time. To the point of where we are today in our construction, that the $300,000 that we're indebted for, I don't care because I know God's going to take care of me. You see, if you don't go through that stuff, and we talk about repentance here, repentance is simply changing your mind, to change the direction. If I didn't have my mind changed, I would be so overwhelmed with thinking, God, man, where am I going to come up with this money? But I know He's got it. He owns everything. He owns the heavens and the earth. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the cattle. He owns the earth. He owns it all. He owns you and me. And if he takes care of all the birds of the fields and the air and the cattle and stuff, how much more valuable are you and me to him that he will not take care of us? He will. He promises. And he is faithful. And finally, in dominion, this dominion that we have, that God has given to us, not only is it over the physical realm of our lives, but it also is in the supernatural realm of the unseen. You see, God is king of the unseen world, which is more real than our physical real, our reality. When he created this reality, he created representatives for this reality, you and me, to relate this kingdom to him. But because there was war in heaven and Lucifer tried to take over the throne of God, God vanquished him. Satan forgot, or that's his name now, forgot that he was a created being also. And so he deceived man, the man believing that he is God. Except the deception is we should know that we are created beings. In this creation that God has made for us to have dominion, it is dominion over angels. He who was created a little lower than the angels is now highly exalted and sits at the right hand of the Father. If you are in Jesus Christ, you are positioned in that position at the right hand of the Father. Therefore, your position and your authority is higher than the angels. You have the right to command God's army in Jesus' name. You have authority over the devil, over sickness, over death, over the demonic realm, which is invisible. And some churches teach that that's not even a reality. I'm here to tell you that the demonic can affect you physically. You can have headaches, unbelievable. It can attack you emotionally to where you are anxious, which is a spirit of fear. To where you are uncalm, uncool, and uncollective in your situations. But I'm here to tell you that in God you are calm, you are cool, you are collected, because He is all that and much more. God is the bomb. And He's ready to lay the hammer down on everything that highly exalts itself above the name of Jesus Christ. Every thought, every word, every deed that is not of God will be punished at the end. The choice is yours. If you don't know Jesus Christ and you love your situation, then this invitation to you is not for you today. But if you are tired of your situation and you can come to grips with the understanding that God loves you and He wants you to be part of His end time move, which I classify as the Joshua generation, to take this dominion and to operate by faith and in love and give your life for His so that you can have a life on the other side, then I invite you to come and receive your salvation. Receive forgiveness of your sin. Receive a kingdom that God has prepared from the foundations for you. You see, the only thing holding you back is yourself. The only thing holding you back is what other people think about you. And I'll tell you what, it didn't hold me back, because I was ready to run through pews to receive Jesus Christ and what He had for me. My life was in the toilet, and I was just waiting for the devil to hit the flush cycle. Don't let your life be wasted. Give it to the kingdom. Give it to the King, because He has a plan that is far greater than you could ever ask or imagine. He has a destiny. He has created you with a purpose. It's up to you to choose for that. If not, I don't know what to tell you. Let's pray. Father, I just come before you, Lord God, and I thank you, God, that you have created us to be supernatural beings, to relate your love, your glory, your mercy to this world, Lord God, to influence and to expand your kingdom one person at a time. God, I pray that no one would leave here, Father, the same as they walked in, God, whether it's just a change in the way they're thinking about stuff. And Father, I just loose your Holy Spirit upon our hearts today, God. That seed that was planted today, Lord God, that Father, that it would find fertile soil. And we would chew on that word, God. We would chew on things that would cause us to change and to live for you. God, I thank you that the gospel message is your kingdom is at hand. The only way into your kingdom is through faith in Jesus Christ. And that, God, we are citizens from heaven, representatives of your glory, and mouthpieces or ambassadors of what you have to offer us and to the world. Father, I thank you for their attentiveness. I ask, God, that you bless your people as we go forth this day. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.